Hello, Adam Pengelly. What a week it's going to be.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie. Cannot wait for this week. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, Trekking won the last place into the Everest. Strong performance on the weekend.
Yeah, so that field's finalised now. He was very good winning the Scalacci Stakes down there at Caulfield on Saturday. I must admit, I was a little bit surprised how he was such a betting drifter in the last half hour before the race on the weekend there. He was out the gate and you started sort of second-guessing yourself whether you thought he was the right horse to win that race, but he got the job done to give James Cummings and Godolphin a second horse in the race this year alongside Elise. And the way this field is shaping up, guys, is it's really exciting. And I must be said, the betting suggests it's going to be a really open race like the first 2 years we've had the Everest. I think that's what's kept the concept going so well in the first few years. We've had such an open race and no dominant sprinter that it looks like it's going to, you know, win probably two out of every three times. So I heard you guys speaking about the speed in this race. Obviously, with Nature Strip going forward and Redsdale, you'd expect Sunlight won't be too far away. They're going to tear along in this race. So it might suit some of these back markers like a Santa Ana Lane or a Elise or a Pierrata or even a Trekkie, it could be said. So we'll get into the form in the next couple of days, but this makeup of the race looks fascinating at this stage.
Yeah, we've currently got Santa Ana Lane, the favourite, at $4.60 at tab.com.au. Pierrata is at $5 for Greg Hickman. You couldn't wipe the smile off Greg's face, could you, at our lunch? What was that two Wednesdays
happy, wasn't
ago?
He was very, very
doesn't
confident.
Care if it rains, doesn't care if the sun shines.
You know, Nature Strip started 18 times.
Yep.
17 times it started favourite.
It's incredible,
17
isn't it?
Out of the 18 races,
it has had
Nature
the
Strip has started favourite. And in 11 of those races, he's been odds-on favourite.
Yeah. It has had the one win over 1,200 metres, Adam, Nature Strip. And maybe the manners have improved enough that maybe it can come back under the jock and run out of 12-12. But it's going to be a big test.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking a little bit earlier. He'll be there at the 100, maybe the 150. It's just a matter of whether he can stick on for that last 100 metres of a 6-furlong test. I think that race you refer to, TK, he won over 1,200 metres, might have been up the straight at Flemington, I think. Went much earlier in his career against, you know, obviously a lot inferior horses. But I'll go back to that Galaxy win. He won over 1,100 metres against Pierrata in the swap there at Rose Hill one day where he just held on. But I thought the Moya Stakes last start when he won over 1,000 metres, that was just his race to a tee, and you can still see he was yielding ground in the last 50 metres or so. And in such a high-pressure race like the Everest on Saturday, I still find it very hard to see how he's going to run out a really strong 1,200 metres. I could be completely wrong, but I can tell you one thing, guys, he will definitely not be starting favour on the weekend and probably won't be getting any of my cash in.
No.
$17.
Yeah, no, I won't be having anything on Nature Strip.
1,000
Guineas, were you impressed with Flit's performance?
Yeah, she was good, wasn't she, Laurie? She was. She only got there just, but she got the job done. And obviously all the talk afterwards has been about whether James Cummings will send her to the Cox Plate this year. We get fascinated by these three-year-olds in the Cox Plate, don't we? But history shows that there's not a lot of them that usually run in the race. And even worse still, not a lot of them are successful. So, but you know, we've been bemoaning the last few weeks about the lack of stars in our weight for age ranks, particularly around that middle distance. It just might be the year this year for a three-year-old to take on the Cox Plate and run well into the placings. Maybe a Flit, maybe a Castelvecchio, who was pretty good in the Spring Champion Stakes on the weekend, getting in there with light weights can make their presence felt. But James got a big call to make in the next few days, I'd imagine.
And Shadow Hero, it's always a lot of pressure on a jock like Josh Palmer. You've got to make a choice. It's nice to have a choice between two great gallopers, but he made the right call with Shadow Hero for the Spring Champion.
Yeah, I felt good for Josh TK because he would have been, you know, petrified of Castelvecchio running up alongside him and beating him there on the weekend. And Shadow Hero just proved to be the better stayer at this stage of his career over 2,000 metres. Just not taking anything away from Castelvecchio. Had a pretty tough run and I thought was really good for the line. There's not a lot between those horses, but Josh obviously made the right call there on the weekend, and full credit to him. And Mark Newnham will get the horse ready for the Victoria Derby in a couple of weeks' time. He's going to start there a pretty short price favourite. I would have thought Shadow Hero, barring anything really sensational happening in the next few weeks. And I'm sure Josh will be in the box seat with a chance to win another Group 1.
Yeah, we're starting to get some good horses out of Western Australia, and we're also getting some good ones out of Tasmania.
I think it's a feel-good story of the carnival so far, Laurie, is that some of these good horses coming across from the west and some of these good horses coming out from Tasmania, we don't usually see the West Australia and Tasmanian horses really in the thick of the Sydney and Melbourne carnivals. But we've had Gadding down there in Melbourne, Arcadia Queen's come across from the west. She's a superstar, obviously. And then from Tasmania, we've had Mystic Journey and now The Inevitable, who won the Silver Eagle on the weekend, beating Kasika in a really tight race. And he'll head towards the Golden Eagle in a few weeks' time as a horse that's going to be extremely hard to beat for Scott Brunson. But if you have a look at him, guys, he's only just pint-sized pony, isn't he? He's so small when you look at him, but he's got a big heart, and he did well to down for Speaker in that photo finish there on the weekend.
Look, I think it was the Sunday Telegraph that carried that little snapshot yesterday regarding the inevitable up against, I think the horse might have been the Behemoth. And, yeah, it was half the size of the opposite horse in the next stall. It was quite incredible, Adam.
Yeah, and you see some of these horses, TK, that ran the Silver Eagle on the weekend. We're going to have to sort of, I suppose, the A-graders potentially come onto the scene for the Golden Eagle in the likes of Brutal, who was a very good winner of Premier Stakes, and maybe Arcadia Queen as well, which ducks up out of the Everest. So not taking anything away from what he did there on the weekend, winning that Silver Eagle, but there's going to be a couple of, you know, big high-profile horses coming for the Golden Eagle, taking mine in a couple of weeks' time too.
Yeah, I thought Super Seth was sensational winning Caulfield Guineas.
Jeez, I feel sorry for David Van Dyke and the connection with Alligator Blood, because I tell you what, if you backed the horse with 100-metre mark during the queue, weren't you? He just looked absolutely home and hosed in that Caulfield Guineas. But Super Seth came from the clouds, and it just continues Anthony Freeman's record in these big Group 1 races. Absolutely phenomenal the last couple of years. Gee, he can get them right on Grand Final day, and Super Seth was another example of that. I'm not quite sure what the plans are with Super Seth from now on. Do they come up to Sydney for maybe a Bondi Stakes that's restricted to the 3-year-olds in a couple of weeks' time, or do they put him in a paddock or target something down there during the Melbourne Cup Carnival? I'm not too sure, but he's an exciting galloper. And, full credit to Anthony. He's got him right on the big day again.
He has, and he's got could have another big day on Saturday.
Oh,
with Santa Lane.
The stable is on fire, and it was quite incredible because they knocked each other over in the saddling yard in the celebrations. Yeah. They all ended up on the ground. It was quite incredible. It was one of the best tackles I've ever seen in Melbourne. Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, boys. We'll speak to you tomorrow.